We're at the point in the Chumash where the tribes of Gad and Reuven had become very wealthy in the war they fought against Minyan. They had collected a large amount of valuable gold, silver, jewels, etc. And with this, it says they bought large herds of cattle. The members of the Shevet Gad therefore needed pasture grounds. They needed space for their vast herds. And they realized that on the eastern side of the Yarden, where they were now, and which had been the properties of Sihon and Og, were ideal areas for raising flocks. And they weren't afraid. Shevet Gad had always been the protectors. They had been at the back of the camp, and they fought off anybody they had to. And they weren't afraid to be exposed to the non-Jewish neighbors around. They were the first protagonists who wanted this area. And it says that members of Reuven, who were neighbors of Gad under the same flag, joined them. And they made the following request to Moshe. Let us stay here on the eastern side of the Yarden and settle here. They obviously knew that this was an area that Hashem had promised to Avram Avinu. They said, we have this concern that we may be squished for additional or sufficient pasture land in Eretz Yisroel. And they say, we're taking up the same way our forefathers would determine where to be. I guess they meant Avram, Yitzchak, Yaakov, where our sheep needed to be, that's where we went. As we know, when Yaakov's sons came to Mitzrayim, they said, can we live in Goshen, which was much better pasture land because of our significant flocks? They also said, we have another concern. They said, we have large flocks, and large flocks tend to go beyond the boundaries. You can't control them all, and we will inadvertently be guilty of stealing the grasslands of other tribes, and we don't want to be put in this position. However, with a large area we could have on the east side of the Yarden, we can have sufficient buffer zones that we don't have to, they won't have to go anywhere else. They said also, we know, Moshe Rabbeinu, that you are going to be buried on this side of the Yarden. Excuse me, and we wish to be in the same vicinity as where your remains will be. Moshe Rabbeinu warned, and he said, if you stay here, your brethren, the other tribes, will think you're afraid to travel, and they will become demoralized. It will be similar to the situation when the spies demoralized the nation, and they didn't want to travel to where they were supposed to. And he said, I'm afraid that if I let you stay here, we're going to end up with a problem. The other thing is, okay, that we have a discussion. The people of Gad and Reuven say, the following. We will build stables for our cattle, flocks, and we'll build cities for our children here on the east. Once we've done that, we will send every able-bodied person to join the army capturing all the other properties needed. Because we will now be unencumbered by our families, right, our personal belongings, we are much freer to be soldiers. We have less reason to shy away from battle. Moshe looked at their words and he said, I've got one problem. First of all, look at how you spoke. You mentioned building stables for cattle as priority one, and then cities for your children. What are your priorities? It says in Tehillim, not from going out to the west, nor to the desert, to the mountains. For God is judge. He lowers and sets another one high. This says a person does not necessarily become rich by going distances from east to west, by venturing to distant places, such as to mountains and deserts, etc. If HaKadosh Baruch Hu says you're going to have Parnassah, you need not go to the ends of the earth. You've got to make a reasonable effort. He says the word for money is or possessions is nechasim. The word nesach begins at right, indicates that after a person's passing, it goes to the next generation. It comes from the word mechuza. They are concealed from him, meaning that nobody's got pockets in Tachrichim. Money were called zuzim, coins, because zuzim has a connotation of moving, and money moves from hands to hands. The way of the world is that's what commerce is, and sometimes it moves successfully and sometimes not. Mamon, money, is really a contraction of ma'atamone, what are you counting? Money? It's not really of great benefit, it's almost nothing. And ma'os, another term, says ma'le'es, what will be about the future? In other words, again, you can't take money with you to Olam Haba, only Torah and mitzvos. A Roman nobleman asked Rav Shimon ben Chalafta, how many days did it take Hashem to create the world? And he said, six. Now we know it may not be 6 days in terms of 6 times 24. And then he was asked, what's God been doing since? And Rav Shimon Chalafta said, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is busy constructing ladders, or let's say metaphorical ladders, for the purposes of elevating some people and lowering others. The other thing is that they say HaKadosh Baruch Hu is busy making shiduchim. Kadosh Baruch Hu had the booty from Midian fall into the Jewish hands. These had been destined to be for the Jews. However, it says the tribesmen of Gad and Reuven had gone to the nth degree in collecting these things. They had a much greater attraction to materiality. It says in Mishlei about these two tribes, An inheritance may be received hastily at the beginning, but in the end shall not be blessed. And what they're saying is the two tribes on the east side had this land, and it accommodated them and it met their use. However, we're told in Divrei Yamim that the first people exiled were those on the east. It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu steered up Pul, king of Ashur, Tiglath Pilneser of Ashur, and he exiled Shevet Gad, Reuven, and Chatzi Shevet Menashe, half of the tribe of Menashe, who Moshe put there. It says that Tanchancherev was really Pul and Tiglath. And okay, that's according to one pshat, it says. And then they point out that Zvamachloikis, and somebody else says that Zvulun and Naphtali may have actually been exiled first. But going in this vein, it says, they caused the earlier infliction of punishment. They moved away from the spiritual center, in effect, by being on the other side of the Yarden, and somehow this led to an earlier exile. When Moshe began to take stock of the area of Sihon and Og, he determined that there was more land than they needed. And he therefore said to Shevet Menashe, I'm going to give you, half of your tribe are going to have an area. It says, why? Why was Menashe's area split by the Yarden? It says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu treated Menashe's descendants, Mida Keneged Mida, in accordance with what had happened. It says, when Yaakov's sons came to Mitzrayim, right? And they told him, right, that Yosef, he had died. We went through the charade whereby Yosef hid the cup of Binyamin in the sack. In Binyamin's sack was put Yosef's cup before they knew it was Yosef. And when it happened, they tore their clothes, and it says, because Menashe was the one who went there, that's what happened. And it gives some other examples. It says, Yosef also caused his brothers to tear their garments. And it says that Yehoshua, who came from Yosef, he had to tear his garments when the city of Ai, that conquest, failed. It says, Binyamin, where the brothers tore clothes on his behalf, ended up having a descendant, Mordechai, who tore his clothes when the decree of Ahasuerus was rendered. In Yehoshua's time, B'nai Gad and B'nai Reuven faithfully kept their promise to march and do battle at the head of the Jewish army. For 14 years until the land was distributed, they didn't come back to their families. Once, it says, once the entire nation crossed over the Yarden, These two shvatim, it says, realized how much more fertile the land of Eretz Yisroel is than any others. And they said, had we known this, we would have never made the request. We would have taken a smaller portion here, which would have given us all we needed. It says, quoting a medrash, that when Moshiach comes, it says, every member of Klal Yisroel will get a portion in what is considered Eretz Yisroel proper. And it says the two tribes are the ones who, in retrospect, made the wrong choice. Before they went into Eretz Yisroel, the warriors available in Reuven, Gad, and half of Manasseh set up cities for their families and the enclosures for their animals, and they renamed all the area because it had been given names which were the names of idols. It says, one of Manasseh's descendants, called Novach, named the district which he conquered Novach. It said he had no children, and he hoped somehow his name would be commemorated through this area. The final point that the author makes, quoting from one of the commentators, is the Torah wants to teach that HaKadosh Baruch Hu doesn't want us to erect buildings for posterity. He says the notion that I'm going to dedicate a wing, right, does a good thing if it's, you know, if it's properly done. However, he says the true memorial that a Yid should want to leave are the level of Torah and mitzvot that person was known to have kept. The second parsha this week is Maaseh, and it says the Jewish people made 39 stops in the Midbar in the years that the exile occurred, that they were exiled into the desert. And their number of pirushim on the names of some of these things. You know, for example, it says Sukkos was the second spot because that's where they first received the seven clouds. And we know that when we talk about the mitzvah of Sukkah, we say, what did HaKadosh Baruch Hu give the Jews as a way to live? Was it the clouds or was it actual Sukkos? And we see that in the Gemara and in the Mishnayos. Piachiros was the place that Paro felt his idol, Baal Tzephon, the only one left when God wreaked havoc on the idols, would thwart the Jewish people. We know Mora was the first encounter with the bitter water, where Moshe hit the rock, and it's also known for the place where the Jews got the first mitzvah of keeping Shabbos. Sin is Sinai, right? The number Yud is 10 because of the Ten Commandments, and it's called Sinai because Sinai indicates hatred. And it says because the Jews kept the Torah, that's what led to their hatred.
Who's touching the back of there?
Yeah. The last place they went to, after, it says stop 40, was called Almon Divlayasama, which is called Nachliel. This is where Miriam's well disappeared and where Hashem took judgment on Moshe and Aaron. It says it's an indication of Nelam disappeared.
Did you call him in?
David, we're picking up your noise. It says,
sorry.
Moshe recorded all the names of places. When the Jews came to the bank of the Yarden after 40 years, Hashem told Moshe that he wanted a chronological list of the places. And the question is, why is it important to record all this? It says later generations would have a hard time believing how millions of souls could travel for the 40 years in the Midbar. They would try to find, as the Bible critics do, natural manners. They would come up with theories and inventions such as, oh, they picked the best areas, right? They went to spots that only had water. HaKadosh Baruch Hu mentions every spot, pointing out those spots that totally lacked anything, and that without the Mon and without Miriam's well, there would be nothing, and they would have died. This is to enhance emunah, that when people realize the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu took care of Klal Yisroel, and even though we can't see it or observe it, HaKadosh Baruch Hu still cares for Klal Yisroel, it basically is an enhancement of emunah. The other thing is to realize that in the 40-year period, they didn't have to travel to three spots a year, etc. It says at the end, it mentions actually 42 stations. I guess the beginning and the end plus 40. It says they stayed 14 of the first years in one spot and 8, right, in the 14th year. So what he's saying is that for some reason the first year they went 14 spots. But that was presumably because that game plan was to get them to Eretz Yisroel within a 3-week period initially, before the Chet of the Meraglim. Actually, it was 3 weeks after. It would have actually been Shiva Feber Thomas, I guess, of the second year, so it's a little more. But it says, in Kadesh, they were there 19 years. And therefore, there's 19 spots where they spent a year apart. It says also, a Kadesh Baruch Hu wanted to have a record of the 19 years, so the people could reminisce and say, oh, in this spot, this certain thing happened. They say the same way if you take a cross-country tour with your children. They say, oh, I remember when we were in Vegas, we saw that. In New Orleans, we saw that. In San Francisco, we almost were disgusted by everything and things of that nature. But the thoughts remain. This was something HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the people to remember and that they could continue to bear in mind. Hashem said that the nations of Eretz Canaan will have a choice. They can leave. You'll give them the opportunity to leave. But if they say, we're staying where we are, you must destroy them. Because they would bring apart, or they would bring down the level of kiddush, of holiness of the Jews. Moshe was then given by Hashem the exact borders of Eretz Yisroel. And we're told that these are the borders where the mitzvot that are only to be observed in the land, such as Shemitah, Yovel, Truma, Maaser, etc., were to take place and to, were to be, in place. Okay, I'm going to stop here for now. We have a little more to finish till we get to the end of Sefer Bamidbar and to our Chazal.